Now I'm doing everything on my own again. Not that I didn't have like a game plan and I was getting structure down, organized a year ago, and then I just, you know, never listened to your emotions. Okay, I believe you. You changed in that. All right. Okay, I believe you. You're sorry. Don't do that again. Don't do that, ladies. Don't. No, somebody's not treating you good. They're not holding their end, and no. You're just going to be right back where you were. And you got all that time. You know? You just start right back over again. Well, this time I got little baby Blue with me, so it was interesting because I had a groomer's appointment yesterday. I'm like, you know, I have to not be fearful of taking them both. They have trainer correction collars on them. Yes, together they weigh more than me. But you can't be fearful of taking them. She's been really good. The first car ride, she just sat there. She just sat there looking out the window. She's definitely a car ride puppy. Definitely a car ride husky. Groomers? Oh, hell no. No. She she wasn't having it. Luckily, the groomer, one of the owners, was able to help me out. But boy, was she a handful. Oh, my Lord. She was not having it at all. Thank God for a correction collar, right, Snorio? So right now, I'm just taking him. Left her at home. She's been having a morning. That's for sure. And left her home so I can just go run a few errands and do things, drop off her cycle. And I thought, you know what? I'm just going to take Snorio for a walk. Because he's not been for a walk by himself in, like, since Blue. So... took him for a walk. I think he really liked it. It was tough on me, but he liked it. The last three days, I've decided, you know, how do I really feel without palliative care? How do I really feel? All right. I'm going to say the first day was hell. I'm going to say the first evening was hell. It was like having a really wicked flu that you never had before. And you're coming off of everything. I wouldn't recommend anyone doing it cold turkey. I did. I consulted with a friend of mine's mom who's a nurse, and it was rough. You don't realize it's been, over a year of palliative care for me. I've done this before where I've tested to see, okay, do I really need it? You know, I need it if things change. Hell no, they haven't changed. This is day three. Excuse me, some of the stuff I could tell is completely out of my system. And I'm like, you know, is this worth being irritable and a lot of pain? And then I finally ran into somebody whose son passed away at 5 years old of a rare form of cancer. And me and her have been corresponding on TikTok, social media platform. And she's kind of been reading things about me. And she's like, you know, that's nerve pain. You know, what you're experiencing throughout your body, that's nerve pain. The deep, deep aches. And the weird feeling, like tingly feeling, like ants and all that, and just like horrible feeling. You can't get comfortable. That's nerve pain. Because my son had that pain. And as soon as we went to St. Jude, we were told we'd have to put him in hospice right away. I was like, wow. And the type of cancer he had was very rare and ended up being a lesion in his brain. And they realized he had several lesions throughout his brain. And it started spreading by the time they got home. Came back from St. Jude. It was 4 months later and it just spread everywhere. But she said, you know, what you experience is nerve pain. The regimen with palliative care is similar to hospice care, almost identical, and it was nerve pain. He had the same thing. At the end of the day, he went through IV and they put him on hospice, obviously. Like I said, with hospice, you know, it slows the body down and you sleep, and eventually you sleep and you'll wake up. That's the truth. But she's like, what you're dealing with is nerve pain. That irritability from it is from nerve pain. It's very common, as she said, with really aggressive tumors and cancer. So I've been corresponding with her, like, you know, I do this every once in a while. I just want to test to see, you know, can I have this miraculous miracle and I don't have to be under palliative care? Have things changed? Because when you're under palliative care, the goal is to numb everything so you don't feel it, so you live your best life. I'm going to say over the past 3 days, I've not lived my best life. I've lived my hell life. Let's just say, tired as can be, you know, I've realized that I'm not going to get out of, getting off palliative care, and I can't keep doing this, keep trying it, but I think it may be good because I had to reset, you know, you kind of flush everything out of your system, take in all good stuff, you know, Added some extra vitamins into my diet and, you know, whatnot. But I realized, you know, I'm not getting out of palliative care. It was about 2 this morning. I went to bed, I'm not joking, like 8 o'clock p.m. I was up there like at, 5 a.m. So, and it was a crazy, just constant day. I had appointments, I had groomers and that. And I realized, like, early this morning, I can't do this. I could not get comfortable at all. I was in so much pain. I'm like, this is the nerve pain she's talking about. And I realized this just isn't for me. I can't do it. It didn't have that miraculous miracle. I'm not cured. I'm going to have to deal with this. And it's tough because we keep having to change with palliative care and medicine and that. I'm back in 6 weeks, change things again. I made an appointment, finally have insurance, 2 insurance plans. They're finally going to cover acupuncture. Does it help? A little bit. Is it temporary? Yes. Is it expensive? Well, hell yes, it is. There's also different types of spinal injections they can do with different types of steroid drugs, anti-inflammatory drugs. We're going to try that the same outpatient and try to work me in later today. If not, they said we'll have to reschedule it, but they did have a call in from somebody called and not going to keep their appointment today. Can you do it with everything you're taking? Yes, you can. It's sad because it's like, geez, just trying to get off all this stuff. I don't like being all this stuff. I really don't. When it doesn't work, you don't have the consistency. It's not a constant flow, and that's the problem we're running into, is trying to get a constant flow of everything. And it's been over a year. We still haven't got it. It's still not there yet. But I did. I tried it. I did cold turkey. I wouldn't recommend anybody doing it. I had the sweats. I was nauseous. I had a house up to 76 degrees in the house. I had like 3 blankets the first night. I'm not joking. Would I recommend it? No. Could it killed me come off that stuff with just cold turkey like that? Well, yeah. But, you know, I was willing to try it. And a friend of mine's mom is a nurse, so I was corresponding with him. So I had someone, you know, obviously making sure, seeing how he's doing. But then I realized, as she said, I don't really think you're absorbing everything. You had definitely a detox kind of symptoms in that, but you're not really, as long as you've been on things and changing things up and increasing, you didn't have a normal response. So it just tells you, as she said, your body's just used to everything. You're going to need to go back and tell them, just need to change it. But you need to be honest and tell them this, and you tried. And I've been honest with my hospital doctors, my specialist palliative care and oncology. Well, I've done this before. This is the 3rd time I've tried it. Is the tumor pain still there? Is the nerve pain? And I knew it was nerve pain, but I wasn't sure, because I'm like, this is some strange ass sensations. I asked her too, that I correspond with on TikTok, and her son had passed away when he was 5, a rare form of cancer. And I told her, did he have ascites in that? And she said, yeah, he had a lot of fluid around different sites. And, she said, but the main thing you're talking about that's hard to control is nerve pain. It's almost impossible to control nerve pain. It's hell. I'm so disappointed today, and I shouldn't be. I should be damn proud of myself that I tried again to come off of everything and see where I'm at. It won't be the first or the second time that my doctors know, and I've told them, and I'm very honest, really honest with them. Listen, I came off of this. I'm sure they're going to probably tell me I should have went through inpatient, you know, if I was going to come off of it and do it safe way. But, you know, I was plugging in naked drinks, bolt house drinks, I still am, GNC vitamins. I was doing everything. A friend of mine's mom, who's a nurse, she's been a nurse for decades, was telling me, and flushing the water and that. I've never urinated so much in my life, just flushing everything out. I felt mentally clear, like really clear, and I do, because I haven't taken the other things. I had to start everything back early this morning. It's like I had one good day where I felt like, you know, not constantly being like a yo-yo on this stuff, because, you know, you're taking this, taking that, and you come down and you're up and you're down and you're up, and it's not a fun way to live, but it's the way I have to live. I accepted it, and this is why I can't handle people if they're going to bring negativity, start problems in that. anybody who tries to lock someone up in jail for saying the word family and talking about family, and anybody and anybody's family who tries to approach any judge and tries to lock someone up, another family member, for talking about family. And then admit it? No, that's not okay. You don't do that, especially if anybody's dealing with oncology and stuff and their health. and put somebody in a place that's like, I just don't want to talk about germs and that. And doing that because you don't want people to hear about family dysfunction. Where are these autobiographies? Kardashians. You mean the Kardashian sisters going to start locking each other up for talking about family on a show? So he sent me a video of Courtney and Kim getting their first really big fight. Is it Courtney, the one that got married, Travis? And Kim, I know Kim, but is it Courtney or Chloe? I get them both confused. Chloe's the blonde, right? I was like, wow. And they're like, look at this. I was like, there's some things that you just don't do. Probably somebody admit it. I'm like, no, I don't want to be around that. No, that's not okay. There's not enough apologies in the world. Man, you know, you're trying to robot somebody, control them, what they say and think, and try to control their journey in their life, and do some things like that, and gang up. Gang. It's a good word, gang. Not cult, gang. That's some scary stuff. Scary. That's things you leave to your therapist, folks. Scary. You know, watch the Kardashians. You know, I don't like that show. I think they're just ready to retire, but when I saw that stuff, I was like, you know what? All right, when I'm getting ready to go to sleep and I'm getting relaxed and stuff, take my meds, I'm going to start watching the Kardashians. Now, I didn't like the Kardashians, but I'm like, maybe I'm, you know what? Oh, I think I'm going to like this season. Relatable. You know? I don't see them locking each other up. That's crazy. What were you thinking? Did you think about what you were doing? You still think that's okay? I mean, it's crazy. It's scary as hell. No, I don't think so. No. You gotta just slowly do the drift and ghost. You know, you don't need extra stress in your life. Nobody does, and you can do a chronic illness, not sure what your journey is. You don't need all that. You don't need that going on. You know, you find people that are supportive. You know, they're there for you, clapping. Not trying to lock you up for talking about family dysfunction. I don't care who you are, village community, whatever, you don't go do that stuff. Oh God, you do that, that's just, oh my God. Whew. No, that's just, no, that's not okay. Never will, never will be. No. Oh, sometimes you gotta close doors. You gotta keep walking the path. You can't keep looking behind you. It's behind you, you know? Address your problems in life, trials and tribulations. Sit down with a licensed PhD. I'm talking about a therapist, a counselor, psychologist, psychiatrist, trauma therapist, whatever you got, a therapist, you know. You talk that stuff out. You talk about what happened. They'll help you realize what happened. They'll help you make logical sense. Get the emotional part out first before you talk about it. And then you move forward. You file folder that in your brain for future reference, never to do it, never be in situations like that again, around people who do things like that. That's not okay. That's crazy ass stuff. That's absolutely nuts. I don't ever want to be around. No. If you take that and you handle that, you know. Handle it with counselors, you know. Whoever you have to deal with, you know. And everybody, nobody has a perfect family. That's life. There's always going to be family dysfunction. But what we don't do in families is we don't, out of spite, try to have judges and file motions and try to lock up family members for talking about family dysfunction. You know? I don't want to talk about family dysfunction on any type of public entity, social media, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, whatever. But I could talk about the person family dysfunction in family groups and dynamics and get-togethers and Christmas gatherings and stuff. That's insane. I'm still like, I'm flabbergasted, let's just say. Absolutely. And any judge that has to intervene twice, they have to slap you on the hand twice. Stay away from that stuff, folks. There's a point of family dysfunction. There's a point of absolutely nuts and crazy and things you just don't do to one another. And what's I gotta say is I'll be watching the Kardashians later. It's Kim and Chloe, I think. Or no, Kim and Courtney. Yeah, isn't she the one married to Travis? And you wonder why she's like nothing really much to do with the family anymore. She got married and she has her own family. She, you know, always feeling on the edge, nervous wreck, and Kim's constantly just ice picking at her, and you know, everybody's saying they feel sorry for Courtney. I mean, or Chloe, or what is it, Courtney. I mean, if you can relate, you know, I'm sure you do feel sorry for her. You know? that was dysfunction as a son of a gun. But if you don't sit down with the counselor, people start getting really downright vicious and wanting to take a shovel and bury you. It's like being around a murderer. No, not okay. Don't be around it. Don't be around stuff. I don't know. I had a good day yesterday. I didn't have a good day at the pain. Once everything started coming out of my system, everything was out, and then I realized, I don't have a miraculous miracle. Sorry. Things are progressing, and they were right. Imaging's right. Doesn't lie. I don't need to hear it from specialists. I just look at the scan. But it's nice to be able to connect. I don't like Facebook. I don't like Instagram. I don't like Snapchat, Ghost, whatever. I do like TikTok because it's creative, because people are creative. And maybe that's why I like it, because I'm a creative person. But to be able to connect with so many people and realize that it's not far-fetched when I say nerve pain. And I just said this, I don't know how many months ago, 2 months ago, that I have some strange sensations. And somebody just going on the podcast and crossing me on TikTok and, sending me a message and telling me about their son and what they went through at St. Jude and the nerve pain. She couldn't figure out the sensations that were identical. What I'm feeling was nerve pain. And it was bad. But to have somebody validate what you feel is real, that's priceless. But to be there for one another, after her beloved son's passing, as she said, I'm gonna be the difference, and I'm gonna help other patients. And if I run into somebody and they're questioning, what am I going through? Why do I feel this way? This isn't like pain, this is weird. And I can help you understand it because my son went through it, then his legacy lives on, and it can't be more truer and true. I'm gonna do in this podcast right here. It's like 8 o'clock in the morning. I'm hoping I can get in to get the acupuncture today and at least start on the steroid injections. I don't like anything in my spine. It's not the first. I just don't like it. I don't like it. They always say don't look at the needle. Oof. I'd rather be knocked out as a town. Can we do twilight sleep? Nope. Sorry, Kim. You gotta be awake on these. It's an outpatient. It's no big deal to some people, but I just don't like needles. Acupuncture is different. Those are tiny needles. When you start talking spine, those are some big mumbo jumbo needles. I just don't like it. But I really thought I could go in, the hearing, big hearing next month, and be able to say, yeah, I came off a palliative care, and yeah, I don't have this anymore, and I'm not gonna be able to walk in that way, I realize I'm gonna, for yourself, my journey in Converse is gonna be the way to go. OnlyFans, doing cooking and things like that, things I like, it's gonna have to be things continue like I did before, things with the podcast and that and everything, and working from home. I would love to get back out in the public again, but it's just not feasible. And that was the whole point of trying to come down all this stuff to see if the pain's still there, if things changed, and it didn't change. But I will say one thing, for my friend's mom, and getting back to like naked drinks, whole drinks and vegan drinks and dairy-free and Bolthouse stuff, and using the blender again, and taking in more vitamins. And I feel better there. I really do. 3 days, and it's like I feel better, that's going to help me out, as she said, but I don't think you're going to get away from palliative care. It's wishful thinking, as she said, but it's not realist. You're not being a realist. I think I was hoping it was some miraculous miracle, and it's just not there. It's not going to be there, and it's not going to happen. And I'll always be that person to try, I always say I'm pessimistic, but I realized, really you're not. You're half pessimistic and half optimistic, because if you weren't optimistic, you wouldn't have tried to see what your body is really doing, and do you really need to be under palliative care. And you wouldn't be a pessimistic person, you'd be optimistic, because I tried coming off of stuff again and it didn't work. It didn't work at all. But Snorri and Blue doing good, and every day I told him, well, do something different every day, just to get out for a little bit. Whether it's taking, Snorri for a walk, or just taking a car ride, take her car ride every day and get out, and do the best you can, enjoy life. But I realize, things aren't going to go back the way they were. They never are. All I can do is file folder. I tried, I tried, and you move forward and close that chapter. You have to be realist sometimes. You can be optimistic and pessimistic too. But I tried. But it just is, the stuff ain't going away. And it's an unfortunate situation, but it is what it is. That's the truth.